sharing with the Colossians. And I've been finding that this whole month or so, I've just been staying in Colossians and just kind of reading through a book at a time, and then a scripture or two will jump out at me, and it's like, wow, you know. And today it's in chapter 3, Colossians 3. Again, Lord, just before we go there, Heavenly Father, I need you, Lord. I need you to speak to me. I need you to speak to these people. Again, we're a varied amount of people with different things happening and going on. But Lord, I just want it to be a rich day in you to receive from your word that which will help us, that will help us remain strong in following you, serving you, pleasing you. Again, Lord, this time is for you. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess what I caught in Colossians 3 was that our perspective has to change. Many times when we receive Christ, and I was there, and maybe you've been there, you might still be there, but we don't change a lot from what we came out of. We kind of keep our eyes and our thoughts still upon that which we exited out of, to come into that relationship with that of Jesus Christ, and to receive and to understand all the things that he has for us, and that God has for us through that of Christ, that all that God has for us through that of the Holy Spirit, for this day and age, to help us. And with all three of those avenues, with that Trinity power of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, it's there and it's available to help us. Because we're still on this side of heaven. How many here are on this side of heaven? We all are. And we're still struggling. We're still dealing with stuff. We still got stuff happening. We got good stuff happening. We got bad stuff happening. It's like one day good, one day bad, one day good. And so things just keep coming upon us. And how easy it is to begin to fixate again on today here rather than your future there. And to realize that what Paul has been sharing throughout this here with the Colossians, and now he's coming to this point, and it's our perspective has to change. So when we receive Jesus as our Lord, we turned our lives over to him. Hopefully we did. At least we should have, you know. I struggled with that for a while until I finally said, I'm tired of playing this game. I'm coming into it for real. This is it, you know. Maybe we've all had to do that. Maybe you didn't have to do that. But I know me personally that I played and I dabbled with God and dabbled with the world. I dabbled with this. I went back and forth. It was good. I'd go to church, then go out to work, and I'd go to church, and I'd go in the world. Not doing bad things in the world, but I was just getting back out into the world because that's where we're living right now. And it would have a way to, say, overpower me, but it would have a way to get my attention daily. I shared one time recently, and many years back, I did this and with the congregation, and saying, you know, throughout the week, you know, we've got like an hour and a half, 2 hours max in most people's lives to put enough of God's word into you, to infuse in you the things of God that he has for you, the power, the strength, the ability for you to go out into the world for the next 6 days plus, 6.5 days. And so we got to say, Lord, make it a quick work. And you know what? God can do that. God can make things quicken to you. You know, not even just at church, but even out there when you're speaking to him and praying and reading his word on your own, it quickens to you. And it's an amazing thing how God has this all worked out. But I want to look at this. We should have changed what we are focusing on in our old sinful life to that of the things of God. Or could I say this, to the things of heaven? Because that's what it's about, heaven. So let's just read Colossians 3, 2, 4. I'm reading New King James at this particular time. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. When I read that this last week or two back, I kept reading, you know. I start out 3, 1, 3, 2, 3, 3, 3, 4, blah, 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 blah. Then I went back up to that. I thought, wow. And it was, I was reading it, I think, in like an easy read version, which I will, and it says this: think only about what is up there, not what is here on earth. Paul is sharing to the Colossians, after he shared all these other things about, you know, your life needs to change, we need to, if you received Christ, walk like it. All these things previously, and some of the messages that I've had out of Colossians. And he's saying this: yeah, set your mind, you know, think only about what is up there, not what's on this earth. And it said that, so it kind of kept going over in my spirit. And then in verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, and when he appears, and this is speaking, of course, to that, speaking of his second coming, then you will also appear with him in glory. I don't know about you, but as I read that and reread it and read it and reread it, guess what I found? Encouragement. I found a direction. I found God speaking to me through his word to say, Tim, there's a lot going on around this old earth. There's a lot that you're aware of in people's lives, in your own family, you name it. But there's things that you've got to understand is don't fixate on those things. Keep your attention, keep your focus upon heaven. Not to say that I disregard what's going on in the view of what I'm a part of right here. I keep all those things in prayer, as you do, right? It's one thing to pray and turn it over to God, or to pray and hold on to it and allow it to weight you down. Because somewhere in God's word, he says, cast all your upon yourself. No, on him. Cast all your cares upon him. And so in prayers, in our natural times here and serving, I cast my prayers for individuals that I'm praying for. I pray and I cast them up to him. And then I say, Lord, I know it's going to be your will. I know you've got it under control. I may not understand it. Things I've gone through, I've got answers from the Lord that it didn't come out the way I thought. But you know what? I still have to say, but you are my Lord. You are my God. But then I want to keep my focus even here now on the things of heaven and think of that of glory and to think what it's going to be like. Not that I want to get there today. I'm not in a hurry. Can you believe I'm saying I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven. You might think, well, that's crazy. Doesn't everybody, let's go to heaven. Let's go to that sweet by and by. Let's get out of here. I enjoy where I'm at because God has placed me here for a purpose and a reason. God has placed you here for a purpose and a reason. It's not to come in and go out when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough, God says, I'm there to take the tough. But you stay and you pray and you be my light and my salt and my example. You allow my image. We talked about that, reflecting God to those around you. God needs us here to reflect him to those here in this place. He needs you here, not there. But when I get there, I'll be happy. But can't you be happy here too? Yes, you can. It might take a little effort, but you can be happy here with, of course, the things of God in your life and being filled with the Holy Spirit to give you that power, that dunamis power, to be able to have the Holy Spirit in you so that you know truth, that when you have the scriptures read to you or you're in a study or you hear things in the natural and it's untruth, your spirit automatically says, that's a lie. The natural ways of how news gets out to us. It's like, that's a lie. Spirit dresses that. It says, well, that's silly. How do people believe that? You know, am I the only one here? No, there's a lot of us. But we're here for a planned purpose. You know, my go-to scripture that brought me out of my secular job into this was Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12, and 13. Because God said back there in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. If you sit here today and God's word says, Tim, whatever your name is, say the same thing. I know the plans that I have for you. And it doesn't go on to say plans of doom and gloom, plans of failure and despair, woe is me, it's not going to be good. you're going to have a terrible life. No. Plans to prosper. Plans to succeed. Plans to be whatever you put your hand to that I'm a part of will be successful. Not because Tim, but because God working through Tim. But God needs Tim here. God needs you here so that he can work through you. But while he's working through you, it's important for us to keep ourselves what? Focused on that of the things of heaven. Don't get muddled down in the things of this world. So, Amplified says, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, habitually. Talk to that in the natural of people that are habitually addicted to something. What happens? They can't get away from it. It's a, I don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever the case is. It could be lying. You're a habitual liar, type of thing. You just always, everything comes out of your mouth. It's habitually a liar. Whatever. But it says here, though, habitually can be good when it's on the good side. Because it says, and again in the Amplified, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things. Not on things that are on the earth. Here again, Amplified blows it up to this on earth, which have only temporal value. Once we get an understanding of that, we understand that everything around here, oh, it's beautiful, that's nice, this is nice, oh, lights and camera, but computer, all of this stuff is great, but it's temporal. Moth and rust and decay will take it all out one day. Just turn and shut down. I always get a kick out of it. Well, I say kick, but I go by the old Jatco lot, Kellogg and Jackson there, and that lot was, there was not a tree and a bush out there because they used to park cars and trucks out there all the time. It wasn't just a few years after they stopped doing that and the plant shut down and everything went down that you begin to look out there and all of a sudden I'm seeing trees growing and I'm seeing weeds growing. And I'm going, well, I know there were some grassy spots, but I think there was some asphalt areas out there. I don't know, but all I know is I didn't see that when the cars and all were parked out there. But I begin to see that the earth takes back what's there. Everything is just temporal. For you died, in verse 3 it says in the Amplified, to this world. You've died to this world. I'm alive, but I'm dead to this world. But I'm alive in God's world. And your new life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then here I'm going to just end here with this easy read version that really got me going on this. Think only about what is up there, not what is here on earth. Your old self has died, and your new life is kept with Christ in God. Yes, Christ is now your life, and when he comes again, you will share in his glory. For Paul is demonstrating the life-changing power of the gospel. I look at you today, and I see a life-changing power that has been put within you, potentially to fulfill even greater things than what you're doing today. The half has yet been told. Some of you have done wonderful things already, but that is probably just a smidgen of what God has still planned for you until he calls you home. And we got to keep persevering, amen? We got to keep going. And Lord, don't take us home until I fulfill the call on my life that you have for me, And Lord, I just want to continue to be faithful to you. So he's demonstrating the life-changing power of the gospel. It's just as important as defending it against error. We want to defend it against heresies and things that take the word of God and distort it a little bit. But we also want to look at it, and we want to understand that there's life-changing power, and we keep ourselves fixated on God and the things of heaven. The Colossians are able to fulfill the command daily to display their attention and their affections toward the spiritual things because of their identifying with Christ. Today, as we go through life, we've got to continue to keep ourselves identified with Christ. Things out in the world, they may not like that. You may be laughed at. You may be made fun of. And Jesus says, if they laugh at you and cut you down, hey, count it all joy because they did the same thing to me. It didn't distort what he did, what Jesus accomplished. It didn't stop him from fulfilling what the purpose of his life was here. I don't think any of us at this point in time have had our beard plucked. I've not had anybody spit on me or hit me or anything like that for the gospel. This being dead to their past and their empowerment for the present by the resurrection of Jesus. Our power comes from, number one, being filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit working within us. If an individual doesn't have the Holy Spirit within them just working daily, there is a time where you're going to be weak. But it's only by His power within us that He is able to exert within us by that of the power. And it's one of those things that when you're down and all of a sudden you hear God speaking good things to you, you know that He's not left you and that He's speaking to you because He loves you. So that's another direction there with the Holy Spirit, but I'm just looking at this point here of our perspective changing from the earth and where we're at to the things of that of the heaven. We look at in the chapter 3 in the verses 1 and 2, when we set our sights on heaven, we then put heaven's priorities into our daily lives and practices. And that's the thing about it is, you know, we read in His Word to where we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. Well, when we change that and we've received Christ and our lives have been turned over and rejuvenated, we've been reborn, whatever the case is, the old man has died, we get into another focus here of, I am no longer my own. I've been bought with that of Christ's blood. And now I'm going to serve Him, serve that of God. So we begin to put heaven's priorities into our daily lives. And whatever those things are, it could be a myriad of things. But all we want to do is understand that when we go through life, that we give all we can to that of God. It could be sharing something with somebody in the store. It could be praying for somebody's need. It could be focused on the things that you're changing and working on still in your life to be able to get closer. I want to say closer to God. You're already close to God. But as the Spirit convicts us to get us cleaned out from some of the things that we've still got within our lives of being in this natural body, this fleshly body, to where we want to be pleasing to that of God. So when we fill our thoughts with things of heaven, we are concentrating on the eternal rather than on this temporal time. When we speak of we have died, we should have very little desire for this present world, like that of a person that's physically dead. There is a scripture that is shared. And we use this and we see this in John 14. I can just read this to you. You don't need to turn there unless you would like to. John 14, 2, 3. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and that where I am, there you will also be. So those are things that we can go through God's Word that gives us comfort, that gives us strength, that helps us go through life, because I know, as we sang today, that He's perfect in every way. That He's perfect in every way. And that He's always there for me. And He's always there for you. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. And His ways are not our ways. My thoughts are not His thoughts. We can go through this whole gamut of all the things that God's Word, thank God that He's put here in this book, the Bible, that we can read at different times of our life, throughout different events of our life, whatever the case might be. Or just sometimes you're just reading it to be reading it. And at that time when you read it, it didn't really mean a whole lot to you. You just thought, well, that sounds good. And then, you know, 6 months later, 5 years later, whatever the case is, boom, something happens. You go, wait a minute. You know, I remember a scripture that I read of what God was about and what God was sharing or what Jesus was sharing. And it comes back. And it's brought back a lot of times because if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, He brings back the remembrances, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in us, draws back some of these things. I'm not a very good person to read a whole thing and memorize it like that. If you are, God bless you, you know? God bless you. Let me sit next to you or something. I don't know. Maybe it'll rub off. But, you know, we can read these particular scriptures and things and not even dwell on it a whole lot. But as we're reading it with the purpose of, I just want to eat your word, God. I just want to devour it into my spirit. And then all of a sudden something happens, and all of a sudden I need some help. I need some support by God. And the Spirit all of a sudden draws back something. It's like all of a sudden it's like, wait. I remember reading something that God said that if He be for me, who can be against me? How? What is that? That, you know, I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I feel like I've been the tail for all my life. What's going on? You know. But that said, I think we begin to focus our focus on the things of heaven to get us through. And really, until we are able to focus today as a follower of Christ, that if we continue to keep our eyes and our thoughts focused on heaven, it will actually help you get through today here. Because if you begin to dwell on the things of today here and it takes your focus off of the things of heaven, pretty soon the things of today will drain you, draw you, drop you down. Sometimes it'll drop you to your knees. It's like, I can't take much more. I can't think of this much more. I have a note at the very top here that I didn't read, and as a saying or somewhere I found online or something, or some kind of a verbiage that says, you must not only seek heaven, you must think heaven. You know, keeping our thoughts on heaven. You must not only seek it, but you must think it. I love that. And then I thought when I hit that, it's like Proverbs, you know, I think 23:7, where it says, as a man thinks, these things like here. We all this stuff starts tying and you begin, and that's how God leads me along. Something will come to me and I'll read something like that. And it's like, I wasn't thinking of the scriptures or anything. I said, well, that's a pretty cool saying. Only seek heaven, you must think heaven. Oh, wait, what does God say about thinking? So as a man thinks, so is he. What you say is what turns out to be. The power of the tongue, the voice, or your words are powerful. Your words build up, your words tear down, whatever the case might be. So when we set our sights on heaven, we put heaven's priorities into our daily lives and practices. When we fill our thoughts with the things of heaven, we are concentrating on the eternal rather than on the temporal. When we speak of we've died, we should have very little desire for this present world, like that of a person that has experienced physical death. There's a scripture, and I've shared that. So we've kind of repeated that there of what I've just shared with that. I want to get over here to when we read the truth, it should give us a different perspective on our life right here. When you read the Bible, how did you think of yourself or look at yourself after reading some of God's word and what he spoke to you? But when we begin to read his truth, it gives us a different perspective of this earth. And even on the things like, sometimes we wonder like, why am I having to go through this? And we find scripture that shares that, you know, there's times that we go through the storm. Even Jesus shared that to that of his disciples, and we share that today. God bless you. Let's receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and everything's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. That's a lie. Receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and when the times get going tough, he's going to be there with you to get you through those times of toughness. Prior to that, you were still going through times of toughness, and you were just on your own power, your own ability, your own strength, and that was going to beat you down. But with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will still have rough seas. We're still going to sense the gale of a high wind blowing us across, you know, the waves, whatever the case might be. But we got to keep our perspective on that of heaven. Remember when Peter walked out and says, hey, bid me to come and I will come to you, Jesus. What did he say? Come. Then we know the story. He got out there, I don't know how far, halfway, two-thirds, blah, 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 you name it. Oh, I know that he was doing pretty good. Hey, Jesus. And then it says in his word that he took his eyes off of him and he focused on what? The waves. He focused on the problems around him. And pretty soon he started going, you know? That's today. That same thing is true for today. Jesus says, come, Tim, come to me. And I'm coming to him. I don't know how far, I don't know how much time, I don't know where I'm at in my scope of time, you know, where we're at. But I keep my focus on him, and I don't do it perfectly. I'm just like you. I don't do it perfectly. Once I get perfect, I'll let you know, okay? And then you can say, wow, we got a perfect pastor. But I really doubt it's going to happen, okay, until I get called home. But I focus on God or focus on Jesus even in this day. And when I'm focused on him, I don't really pay a lot of attention to all the collateral stuff going on around me. I know it's going on. But I'm not looking at it and fixated on it and holding my attention to it. I'm focusing on him and what he is doing for me and what he has already done for me of salvation. And for that of healing, and for that, whatever the case is, by his stripes, all these things, and yet we still get sick, yes. And, you know, there's times that, yes, we do still die, but we also understand that this part of earth is not the perfection of God. This is a fallen place that we still get to deal with sin. Not that your sin has brought that whatever on you, but it's just the way things are in this side of heaven. There's miraculous miracles. God still performs miracles to this day. Amen? I have known of miracles. Have you? And he's not done with miracles. But we trust him and we follow him and we look at him and we fixate on him and we keep going through it. And though it goes all crazy around me, God, I'm going to still focus on you, on the things of heaven. And then you know what, Lord? If this thing all falls apart here, I know from what Jesus shared that there's places and there's a place prepared for me there. And I know that I'll be in your arms. And it's not to give up here. It's to keep fighting the fight of F-A-I-T-H. The fight of faith. To keep being strong in that. To not buckle under. You know? And to believe and trust that God has your best interest at heart. Do you guys believe that? If you don't believe that, it's going to be a struggle for you. And then I tell you this, and I use this a lot, because it says this to me, and I think the word says it in your Bible, that it says, Tim, where you're weak, anybody weak? Wherever you are at weakness in your body, your whatever it is going on. But God's word says, where you're weak, I am strong. We only find God really working, I believe, in our weaknesses. And if I can already admit to him, he already knows I'm weak. His word tells me that. But I've got to understand that to the point of saying, Lord, I am a weak vessel. You know, we're pretty fragile. Go out and stand in front of a train. See who's going to win. You know, jump in front of a truck. Jump out of a plane. Whatever the case is, I don't care. You know, fall off your toilet. You know, it's like we're weak people. Things happen. Breaks, injuries, broken, hurt, death. You know, we're fragile. We're weak. But when I know that I'm weak, I know that I'm strong. Because the strength within me is going to be that of Christ. And he's going to come and infuse me with that strength. The power of the Holy Spirit. I'll stand as long as I can, Lord. Wasn't it like Moses where he had to have some help? Sometimes people have to come alongside you. Prop you up, man. It's not saying you're giving up. It's not saying you're a failure. It just says, we know that you need help. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. Amen. So we pray for one another. We encourage one another. We support one another. We stand with one another going through adversities. But even as we stand with those going through adversities, we don't want to look at that adversity. We want to look and fixate on the things of heaven and be that support and that encourager. We need to look at life from God's perspective, and we should want to seek what he desires. We need to use caution on how much we attach ourselves to material things. Again, they're only temporal. In verse 3, when we read, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. What does it mean for a believer when it says hidden with Christ? The word hidden means this, concealed and safe. For we have been hidden. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden means concealed or safe. We are concealed with Christ. We are hidden with him. Don't let this be just for the future, but also a fact for you right here today. Nothing that we do, our conduct, or anything that will earn our salvation. Because Jesus died for us, and our salvation is through that of Christ. It's not by our works. It's not by being good. It's not by tithing. It's not by, you know, being a good person and whatever the case might be. Goodness and all that is good. Being a good person is, well, the world needs a lot more good people. Amen? But it's not going to get you to that of heaven. It's not going to bring salvation upon you. It's only through that of Jesus Christ, through that of dying and on the cross. But it's when we have accepted him into our lives. And then in verse 4, Christ gives us power to live for him now. And that's the thing. We have the power to live for him when? Now. This very day, this very hour, the very situation that you're going through, let him give you his power to be able to sustain that and to go through that. And it might be a hard time. It might bear you down. It, you know, it feels like to you in the physical, it might feel like you've just, you know, were down like one rung from death, you know, or just totally like I'm finished, you know, strength-wise. But don't give up. Keep holding on. Keep looking high. Keep believing what God says about you. And then when that time comes, like we share with many people, is that for a follower of Christ, the Christian, however we want to label that, but somebody that is really following that of Christ, that it's a win-win situation, whether we stay here and serve him or we're called home, we are in his presence. We will be in his presence there. I am in his presence here today, this very hour, as I stand before you, in his presence of that of the Holy Spirit being here with me, and being able to me, not that I'm sharing this like like that, but there has been times that all of a sudden you say something, it's like, where did that come from, Lord? And he speaks it into your spirit of somebody speaking and speak it out. It's like, that's not even what I wanted to talk about, Lord. How dare you disrupt my message? No. Thank you, Lord, for disrupting my message. Because we all need to hear from you. I love it when it's fresh. Amen. I love it when God's word comes to you and you can read this 15 times and the 16th time, but it's fresher than the first time because the Spirit in you enlightens you to something and it becomes more rhema and more real into you that it really begins to cause a cause and effect. You know, we talk about that, and I guess in studies and things, that there's a cause and effect. This causes this and the effect is this, you know. In God's word, there's a cause and effect. Let his word get into you, saturate you, soak you from the core out, and there will be an effect that comes out of that in your situation. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah. That wasn't on the notes, so maybe it was him. I don't know. But always be listening. Have your antenna up to hear what God is speaking, even into your situation this very day. Christ gives us power to live for him now, and he gives us hope for the future. That hope also, my hope, I know he says he's coming back. I always share people, well, you know, we got the Old Testament, and they prophesied about the things happening in the New Testament, and the things in the New Testament came about. And then John is speaking, and we write in Revelation, and there's some powerful things happening in Revelation. So I'm thinking, well, they prophesied the old into the new, and the New Testament prophesies, you know, now the Revelations is prophesying. I said, it's bound to happen. Jesus is coming back. He was foretold that he was going to be born into this world. He came. It was foretold that he says, I will be back. He's coming back. That gives me a hope. Will I see it? I don't know. Do I need to see it? No. I just know by faith, I trust and believe it. And if I do tarry, if he tarries and I go home to be with him, I'm at home with him there. I'm going to see him one way or the other. You know? But it's going to happen. In the Passion Translation, you know, it's just like anything else. It's like the message and things like that, or it's kind of like a paraphrasal type thing or whatever. But it brings out some good things. Anyway, I just looked at this last night, and I just want to read it. Colossians 3, 1, 2, and 3. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, all honor, and all authority. Verse 2, it says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. Anybody like going to a feast? We just came out of Thanksgiving. I'm looking around. You guys probably gained about 10 pounds. No, probably not. Feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. And fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. Heavenly reality. It's not heavenly figments of your imagination. It's real. And not with the distractions of the natural realm. Here, this is our natural realm. Verse 3, it finalizes this, that your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And I think in 4, I must have typed 4 in here too. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in glory.
Ooh.
Wow. I want to just touch upon a few things here as we wrap up. But it's looking at that of living flesh or living by spirit. It's easy to live by flesh because as I look out, I see flesh. But let's also look at that of the spirit. And what is it? In Romans 8:5-6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded, and that for that to be cardinally, that's flesh, fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the cardinal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Wow!
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwell in you, amen. Well, he shall quicken your mortal body, if that spirit, yeah. Powerful things in God's word, guys. Things to be an encouragement, things to give you strength, things to give you hope. Hope that people in the world have no hope. I've got this hope. And I trust it by faith. It's in God's word. I trust God. I believe in God. Nothing that man or somebody out there tries to discourage me with is going to take God's word out of my spirit or out of my heart. Because it's into me. And it's got to be into you because there's people out there that want to take it from you and destroy you. It's the enemy. The devil wants to take anything of the word of God that you've got in you and pull it out of you and to cause you to look at the things in the of the natural to destroy the word of God in you so that the devil says, I want you to pay attention to this that's happening now. Oh, that hurts, that hurts. I'm not going to focus on that. Oh, hallelujah, God. Praise you, Father. You're my glory. Oh, by the way, do something with this God, this enemy tapping my wrist. I don't like it, God. And God will go, okay. I don't know if that would really happen. Well, it would happen. God could do that. But it's that point of time to where we have to be fixated on heaven, going through the times of this, and believing that God will take care of this. And then the enemy will go, how in the world can you be so connected to that guy? You don't even see him. I go, I don't even see you, devil. But I do know you've defeated. I know that you were kicked in the teeth. I know about Jesus, took the keys from you. You go around like a lion, like a roaring lion. With no teeth. Hebrews 11:14-16. It's talking here about what? A heavenly hope. Hebrews 11:14-16. I'm going to start in 13. These all died in faith. Now, we just came out of the faith chapter, you know, 11. We understand by, you know, by faith. We're talking about Noah, Abraham, you know, all of these, Abel, Enoch, all these people, by faith. So this is the faith chapter. But anyway, in that of the heavenly hope, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We are just passing through. Are you guys passing through this place? We're just sojourners, pilgrims in a foreign place. This is not my home. God has placed us here for a purpose and a reason. But I'm a stranger. It says even somewhere in his word that we're peculiar. Verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Oh, nothing like the homeland. I have never been out of the country other than just across the border into Mexico. And what a world of difference that was. Totally different from what I was raised and seeing some of the poverty and ways of living at that particular time and a mission trip. But I've never been around, but I understand where people say, I can't wait to get back to my homeland. Because there's something about your homeland. You love it. It's a place of surety. It's a place of, you know, whatever the case is. I can't wait to get there. And it says they seek a homeland. Verse 15, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, and that is a heavenly country. As much as I love this homeland of America, and if I were out of this country, I'd say I want to come back, and I can't wait to get back to my homeland of America for what it is. But there's a place much better than this that awaits a child of God. But now they desire a better that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Ooh, ooh, a city. We know we're not just going up to some old empty fields and some old dilapidated places, man. It's a city. What do we hear? You know, we get all upset. You know, we think it's great to, you know, have new concrete or new blacktop to put down. But this, you know, they're talking about streets that are gold. We're like gold. It's going to take some getting used to walk on that. I'd probably walk off in the ditch or something. Like, I don't want to walk on gold. No, that's just pavement. What are you talking about? Oh, okay, God. Anyway, they are desiring a better, that is a heavenly country. They're not ashamed to be called, you know, that God is their God. He has prepared a city for them. Just two more places here, and I think we'll wrap it up and try to get you out of here. Philippians 3. Just remember, this is just kind of looking at the areas of, this is not our home. We're just passing through, and we gotta tell ourselves that and remember that so that we remain strong. Philippians 3:17-21. It talks in the heading of my Bible here. Our citizenship is where? I don't know if your Bible says this. In heaven. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Verse 20, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be what? Conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He is able to subdue what? All things to himself. Our citizenship is right there in heaven. Well, yes, I'm a citizen of America, but that's only on papers, and that's so I can vote and do all these things here and whatever they can give me or do or I can do for them. But my ultimate citizenship is there in heaven. And then I want to just end, and we can jump to Philippians 4, right there. 4:8. Meditate on these things. So as we go through, and we're going through all kinds of craziness in our lives, right? Personal things, family things, you know, country things, you name it, just life. Let's look at 4:8, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will what? The God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Heavenly Father, as we share your word today, I thank you for it. I pray for the encouragement that it gave me will give those here today. I pray, Lord, that not just what they've heard now, but it'll resonate within their spirit in the hours and days to come of this week. That we look around at these things in this place that we're a part of, but yet, Lord, we will not fixate on them, but we will keep our eyes upon you and our heavenly kingdom. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're a part of what's going on here. And I thank you, Lord, that you've got us here for a plan and a purpose. But I like this, Lord, that you as the God of peace will be with us. And I so much pray for that upon our spirits here today, our minds and our hearts today, for those that are here, that, Lord, your peace rest with each and every one of us. I love you, Lord, and I do thank you for your word. And I thank you for being there for myself, and you're there for these wonderful people here as well. Thank you again for the richness of your word. And I pray these things in my Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.